Greetings from K9 to Diddly-Dum, Diddly-Dum, Diddly-Dum. End of message.
Happy day, faithless listeners, and welcome to episode 179 of the Diddly Dum Podcast, the fourth best Doctor Who podcast out there. I'm Doc.
I'm Hayden.
And I'm Mark.
And given that we are rapidly approaching that time of the month for the Capital Convention, you'll surely be able to guess who is joining us tonight.
Paul Winter?
No, he's apparently the ambassador's got him out one of his balls.
Beg pardon?
It is longtime friend and patron of the show, Dwas Honcho, Mr. Tony Jordan. Tony, hello again.
Hello, good evening, and welcome. Boys, not long now.
Are you in full admin mode?
Absolutely. My admin cup runneth over with things to do.
Actually, yeah, Tony, you're spilling it on the floor, mate.
Don't want to see it. It's a good job we've turned the video off, isn't it?
Yeah, it's gone all over our marble mosaic of Gary Downey. That's not good.
It's always been a bit sticky down there, so it's okay.
Stop.
No.
But here's to look forward to next month's Capital 6 convention.
Capital.
I thought it'd be nice, very neat and tidy, this one, because we only recorded one last week. There's no news to chat about. And then Mark sent me, have you heard about this Doomsday thing?
I saw about it and moved swiftly on.
Exactly.
Well, I spotted it. I was a bit surprised because I've been following that Suze Kempner, who's the lady who's the star of it. And I had no idea, and it was I've been following her since she started doing sort of some political satire and stuff, and over the last couple of years, and I've been enjoying her comedy work and her appearances as Nadine Doris and things like that. And so I'd been wondering what this Doomsday thing was going to be, and then I was stunned to see that it starred her, because I do like her. But do you want to explain what it is? Can I just say, I brought this to Doc's attention because I read through the press release, and as we all know, Doc does love a bit of a spot the scripted press release statement, don't he?
Well, Mark showed me this, and then I started investigating, and I thought, how did I not know this was going on? The official Doctor Who Twitter account apparently surprised fans, and surprised some of the podcasters even more, on Sunday morning with a video teaser showing a clock counting down to 11 with the caption, "Tomorrow, Doom's Day is coming." On Monday, the BBC announced Doctor Who : Doomsday, a new Doctor Who story celebrating the television show's 60th anniversary. Doomsday will be a multimedia event spanning comics, novels and audio books. God, I'm bored already. Similar to Time Lord Victorious, but with each partner's story standing alone. The premise... Oh, God. Doom, the universe's greatest assassin, played by Suze Kempner, has 24 hours to live. She'll spend that day searching for the Doctor, trying to find him before literal death catches up to her. However, for each of those hours, she'll also be assigned a new target from the Lower Order of Oberon, which I have to say is the point at which I stopped reading. Doctor Who Magazine, Titan Comics, Penguin Random House, Eastside Games, Big Finish, and BBC Audio are all involved in this, with each company telling a standalone story. But what marked you to my attention was the press release. Yeah, that whenever something new is announced or a new casting is announced, we examine the press releases to see whether we think it's even possible to convince ourselves.
I was going to say, this is a classic of the genre, I feel.
to convince ourselves that the person being quoted actually said these words and they weren't generated by a computer in the Doctor Who press office. Suze Kempner says, "To be part of the Doctor Who universe, a British institution up there with cups of tea and James Bond, is surreal and amazing. I love everything about Doom and can't believe I get to travel across time and space with her." I think we'll leave it as read as to who wrote that.
Yes.
Technically, cups of tea, that's an Indian tradition, isn't it, that we've adopted?
Yes, it's not Indian or China, I suppose.
So that AI computer's on the blink then, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, faithless listeners, as ever, mid to late April is the time when the cognoscenti among Doctor Who fandom assemble.
And us.
In the Gatwick area for the Capitol Convention. I can't quite believe we've reached six of them.
Mm.
When you did Capitol One, Tony, were you expecting to keep going, or were you just thinking, oh, we'll try this as a one-off?
It was a one-off to celebrate 40 years of the Society, and then by the Sunday afternoon, it dawned on me that it had been such a success that we should probably redo it. So I spoke to Lord on High Winter, and he agreed.
All praise to the Great One.
And if it wasn't for COVID, this would be the eighth Capitol.
That's astonishing.
Whose name did you mention there, Tony?
Paul Winter.
The Great One is all-seeing. All praise to the Great One. The Great One is all-knowing. All praise to the Great One. The Great One is all-powerful. All praise to the Great One.
The event will take place on Saturday the 15th and Sunday the 16th of April at the Crown Plaza Hotel in Gatwick. And I understand that tickets sold out not so long ago. That's right, Tony?
They sold out in the first half of February. We didn't announce it until a few days later to give any very late comers a chance. But yeah, they sold out just over 2 months ahead of the event.
So this is less a podcast drumming up extra support so much as convincing people not to change their minds.
Well, we've got the money now, so sell them.
And ever since...
I merely jest.
I know. Ever since, was it Capitol 2? That we adopted you as the official convention of the Diddly Dumb podcast. Or was it the other way around?
Predates a little bit, doesn't it? Because I was at the first one.
You were there interviewing, weren't you?
I was interviewing on stage, yeah. That was terrifying.
Yeah, I got rid of you after that.
That was the one where Hayden was dressed in the Time Lord uniform, wasn't it?
Yep.
And Paul, so mote it be, Winter, was staring at my red box.
Stop it.
Couldn't believe it. He was thinking, oh my God, Cameo's just turned up.
And being Capital 6 is something of a coincidence because we're not strictly called Capital 6 this year, are we, Tony?
No.
It is?
It's the Capital 6 decade, and I will give you the background to that, should you so desire.
Please do.
Back in February 2021, we had to reschedule the Capital 5 for the third time, and then we ended up having it at the first weekend of April last year. So it was in the middle of the deadliest phase of the pandemic. Things were very gloomy. No one was even contemplating in-person meetings, conferences, conventions, or whatever.
Mm.
So I thought this is a really good time to book for 2023. And it dawned on me that that would be the 60th anniversary. It would be the sixth Capitol. Therefore, I decided to call it the Capitol of Six Decades. There you go. And from there on in, I've spent 25, nearly 26 months working on it.
Cool. Is that the sort of average, that time that you'll work on these conventions?
No, I would normally say you would start looking at the next year's one shortly before the coming one so that you can have a launch pad.
Right.
But because of the very nature of this event, it is, as far as I'm concerned, or as far as I know, it's pretty unique. I've set myself a real task. That six decades, 13 doctors, we would have 13 panels. Each one would represent and celebrate one doctor. So you can't just randomly approach guests and, oh, you can go with that, you can go with this, whatever. I've had an incredibly focused spreadsheet of who I want, and if I can't get someone, I try for someone else, and so on and so forth. But there are crossovers, because, for example, you've got Graham Harper, and he's worked with the fifth doctor, the sixth doctor, and the tenth doctor. There is crossover, but the panel, as an example, the panel that Graham is on, and I said this when we announced the final guest for it, very specifically, we have a Waters of Mars panel. to represent the 10th Doctor era. We got Graham, who directed it, Phil Ford, who co-wrote it, Gary Russell, who script edited it. Now, obviously, they've all done other things in Doctor Who, but I think Waters of Mars is such a fantastic story, so incredibly dark.
Yeah.
And I just thought it would be lovely to have that as the sort of climbing aboard point. They can talk about it and then go on to other things, because Phil's done Sarah Jane, Wizards versus Aliens. Graham, as I said, has done, we know he did 5th and 6th Doctor. Gary's done all sorts of things. So that's the concept. Hope I'm not giving too much away.
Phil Ford also wrote New Captain Scarlet for Gerry Anderson, so it'd be good to speak to him about that at some point as well.
They're very talented individuals, all of them, with impressive CVs. Yeah. And that's going to be like one 50-minute panel. So we have 13 panels over the weekend, as I say, one for each. As I call them, regnal doctors nowadays, I call them that, because you've had the War Doctor, you've had the Fugitive Doctor, and you've had the Timeless Children and God knows what. You had 13 regnal doctors. That will become 14 in November and 15 in December. But as we haven't got there, we have 13 of them.
Sounds good.
A program of unprecedented goodies.
That's that then. That's the preview. Thank you and good night.
All right. Just show yourselves out there, Tony, and that'll be great to see you on the day.
Yeah.
We're being joined by Mr. President, I understand.
We are. Mr. On Prez will be there.
So that must mean he's not being arrested tomorrow, then?
No. No, he's older than the other one who's being arrested as well. He's 80 this year, you know.
Colin?
That's crazy, isn't it?
He's 80 in June.
Shares my birthday with me.
8th of June.
There you go. And he'll have been on Prez for 12 years coming up now, I think.
I think I was there when he got ordained.
I think the technical term is cornered.
Yeah, well, that afternoon at Riverside, where he was, we got him in as a surprise, and Paul announced him, and he came down the steps, and yeah, that was a good afternoon, that was.
Oh, that was, yeah, what was that? Was that the River?
We'll talk about this at the bar.
I think that might have been Day of the Daleks.
Right, yeah.
The screening of the one with the reimagined, you know, the new CGI and all that.
Yeah.
I think that was that. But so there we go, yep. So he will be there, the On Prez, and he'll be kicking things off.
We'll have to have our companions' books out, I think, Mark, because Colin's going to be joined by his none other than his own amanuensis, Nicola Bryant.
Yes. I don't know where my companion's book is. Obviously, I moved house some months ago, rather, and a lot of my stuff's still packed away in boxes or in storage somewhere. So, yeah, I'm going to have to try and dig that out. At the moment, I've got back problems, which is stopping me from sorting a lot of things out, unfortunately.
I'm going to ask Colin to sign my copy of the CT Annual 2023, which is devoted to the Sixth Doctor, and in which I might have written an article as well. So that'll be nice. We have, of course, got Perry herself, Nicola Bryant. It's her her third Capital. We had Bonnie last year, and it's great to have Nicola back this year.
Yeah, in fact, you've got quite a long, looking down the list there. There's quite you've got quite a good haul of companions this year, haven't you?
We have indeed, and I'm absolutely delighted. We've raised the bar.
Yeah, you really have, because I mean, I know in previous years, you know, you get a few, but this is I'll just look. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9
with Dan Starkey.
Right, okay, yeah.
He's 9. A companion as much as Mike Yates or Sergeant Benton or anyone like that. He's been in loads of stories. Well, what I've done, when I set this up, I've got an expanded budget. I gave myself a big budget. So we had to sell a lot of tickets, which we've done.
I thought you could say we had to sell a few DWAS members.
But my focus this year has really been on the guests. In past years, we've done, you know, we all remember the lift shaft of the Daleks and the TARDIS console. These things cost money. The TARDIS console in particular did. This year, budget has been focused very much on guests because I really wanted to celebrate 60 years of Doctor Who. And that's what we're going to do.
There's a lot that I've never met before. Says he, so, you know, as if he's a regular convention goer.
Who's on the list who you haven't met before?
At least tried to sound interested, Hayden.
I was. I am.
Well, I'll tell you about one person you won't have met before, I don't think. Dean Hollingsworth, who played the android or androids in Timelash and the bus conductor in Greatest Show in the Galaxy. I met Dean at Timelash convention in Germany last October, and we got on like a house on fire. We became instant buddies. And what happened at the end of that event is we discovered on the Monday morning that our flight back to Heathrow had been cancelled. So we all, there was five or six of us, ended up spending an additional night together at a hotel in Frankfurt. And it's just, he is a top, top man. And he lives in Guernsey, but Dean and his wife are flying over for the weekend. And it's great. So he'll be on that panel with Colin and Nicola. So it's the second Time Lash panel I think we've done in 6 years.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Well, quite rightly as well.
I think it's good that there is a mixture of people that you might not have met before. I am absolutely so looking forward, going right down through the Doctors to the 13th Doctor, to seeing a meeting, Cammy Darwish, who was only in Flux for a very short time. He played the Guru on the Mountain.
Oh, right, yeah.
And became a bit of a meme on the on social media after.
Yes, I remember that, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And so I'm thrilled that he's coming. It's his first ever convention, and he's really looking forward to it, I know.
I don't think I remember him. Who was he?
I think it was the fourth episode. They're climbing up a mountain at the side of town.
I'm just kidding. I'm...
Oh, you got me. You and your dog, eh?
What did we create a set of fake end credits for on that?
Is this something to do with Ain't Half Hot, man?
Yes, that was it. He was sitting cross-legged, wasn't he? And we said...
Yeah, that's brilliant.
A character created by...
Guru Piers, courtesy of... Oh, what were they called? Who were the two guys who wrote Ain't Half Hot, man?
Oh, Jeremy Lloyd and David Croft,
that
was it?
That was it, yeah. Piers back courtesy of Jeremy Croft, that was it. And he got me laughs. Because we've got an article of fans as old as us to understand that. But what we often find, we've found, haven't we, so many times, that you get someone that they've never been seen before. They've only ever been seen behind a monster's mask. Or they only appeared once. And they often turn out to be the most entertaining people, don't they?
Yeah. What's his name? Dickie
Gauntlet last year.
Dickie Gauntlet, yeah, man. I mean, that's it. That man's been in show business for however many decades, done this, that, and the other, pantos galore. Yeah.
I mean, that's one of those things where me and Doc would be sat watching a panel, and we'd go, oh, do you know what? We really should try and interview them afterwards. And you don't realise until you've actually seen them, and you're like, oh, okay, they'd be worth interviewing.
He doesn't know, but you know me, if I was interviewing him, I would be talking about not Doctor Who, but we would touch on the Guru, but I would be talking about his other career. The best interviews are always when you talk to people about other things. When we did Time and Riverside the other week, and I had the pleasure and honour of interviewing Maureen O'Brien and Peter Purvis, I asked Maureen why she stopped writing her detective novels in 2005. She did the first one in 1989, and that was the seventh, and then there haven't been any since. And I don't think anyone had ever asked her that before. She basically came out with a story that her editor hated it. And I remember people saying, my gosh, we never knew that. No one's ever asked that question before. And that's what I like. That's the interesting thing. Talk about things apart. Well, obviously, with Doctor Who, that's fine. But Maureen really isn't very good talking about Doctor Who. So there was plenty else to talk with her about. Got a great interview team this year. So they'll all do it in their own way.
As opposed to the first year when I was on it.
It was a bit naff, wasn't it? We have a very strong interview team this year. We've got Martin Parsons, who does the Who's at the Playhouse and Demons event, the Old Bourne event. Robert Dick, who I think everyone knows. Karen Davis and Stephen Cranford, who is an industry professional and fronted the he's involved in Devious as well. But he's been on Radio Sussex for 20, 30 years, and he did interviews at Time and Riverside the other week along with me as well. So there's a very, very strong interview team, which really pleases me. They'll bring the best out of the guests.
Robert was doing some of the interviews at the Terror Sticks event.
He did indeed. He did three of them.
He's excellent. I think Rob's brilliant.
And he's been doing it for years and years. Not as long as me, but he's been doing it for a very long time.
Never come across Fraser before.
Fraser and Wendy seem to have been doing loads of events together recently. They just recently did Bedford Comic Con. They were at, was it Gallifrey they were at? It's a great double act.
Of course, even as we speak, about 5 minutes before we start this podcast, I just paused editing our latest podcast, which is a review of Invasion, where we're in rhapsodies about the chemistry between Pat and Fraser and Wendy. And in fact, That was the story where we're watching it. So, you know, she's going around the rocket control room, taking down all those notes And she just pauses between two of these unit operators. And they just lean back, look behind her, and just stare at her bum.
Oh, they all did. Christopher Robbie once said to me on stage when I was interviewing him, because he was in the Mind Robber, wasn't he? He said he'd never been able to get that image of Wendy Pabry at the very end of episode one of the Mind Robber in the Lame suit on the TARDIS console. That had been in his mind and vision for over 40 years, ever since then.
Yeah, I had an ex-girlfriend who I watched Doctor Who with, and I watched the Mind Robber, and then when that bit came up, she said, oh, no wonder you like Doctor Who.
They'll be great. They'll bounce off each other. They're both always very good guests indeed.
Mm.
Oh, can I just say this? The thing I was referring to a few minutes ago where someone had said something, he said, the guest list has been meticulously blended together to ensure that everyone is catered for, which I think was a really nice thing. And it's what I've really, really been trying for. So we'll see. I mean, we're talking about like Fraser and Wendy as old hands and whereas Cammy's new. We are flying over Matthew Jacobs from Los Angeles for his first ever UK convention. I needed a big name for the Eighth Doctor, and we've got the man who wrote it.
Mm.
Who wrote the movie. And I'm absolutely delighted that he's making his first ever UK convention appearance with us.
Outstanding. And are you flying in President Nixon as well, or is he making his own way there?
The box is quite heavy, apparently.
Stuart Milligan, of course, is who I am referring to there.
Yeah.
For the listeners.
And I mean, if I was interviewing Stuart Milligan, I'd probably talk about old Jonathan Creek and things like that.
Oh, Stuart Milligan, Impossible Astronaut Day of the Moon.
Yeah, that's the one.
Nixon,
President Nixon.
I think him and Dan Starkey will work well together. There's a great deal of experience there, and it's good coverage for the 11th Doctor. Of course, we do have the showrunner for the 11th Doctor.
Yes,
but he's actually down. Stephen Moffat is the 12th Doctor guest, but he'll obviously talk about the Smith era as well as the Capaldi era.
Outstanding.
Well, knowing Stephen Moffat after Singh's last interview, talked about everything, won't he? So that'll be really good. I'll look forward to that.
He was brilliant at the Terence Dix celebration.
Yeah, he really was.
And I really am absolutely thrilled to have Stephen with us. It's things like having Stephen and Matthew, Cammy, or, you know, these are three people. Stephen has done Gallifrey One, but you know, it's not the name. It's not a name you're going to find at conventions very often, if ever.
Of course, it was Stephen that Robert was interviewing, wasn't it?
That was an amazing interview because that was 40 minutes and Stephen spent the whole time talking about Terence. He was so fulsome in his praise. It was incredible.
After they got over the first 5 minutes talking about being Scottish.
You've got to give them that, haven't you?
I don't know if it's physically possible for two Scotsman's cycles to synchronise.
So that'll be really good.
And I think we know what the first question people will ask him will be.
Oh, yes.
Given that he's just announced he's writing for the new...
Well, he hasn't announced it, has he? It's just been leaked in the Mirror.
Oh, that's right. Has it just come out as a leak? Oh, I see. Mind you, it's the Mirror.
From what I know, it's true.
I mean, I can't see why it wouldn't be. It's not exactly an outlandish thing to suggest, is it?
And Stephen has ticked another box that he obviously wanted by having the Unfriend playing in the West End as well. So he's written a West End play. It premiered at Chichester last year, and now it's coming towards the end of its run in the West End. In fact, one of the potential issues we had is that the final weekend of the Unfriend is the same weekend as the Capitol. And to make matters more complicated, as well as a matinee and an evening performance on the Saturday, the very final show is a matinee on the Sunday.
Oh, no.
Yeah, so it's been difficult, but we've worked it out. Or Stephen's worked it out. So that's really good of him. Really, really good. Next.
Graham always comes across as a laugh.
Graham Harper.
Yeah, let alone the fact of what a towering figure he is in Doctor Who history.
Absolutely, and he has so many stories to tell, and he is such a top man. Absolutely lovely man. You can never have too much Graham. Where would you like to go next?
There's two very interesting ones for me that stand out for the fact that they were there at the very start of the new series being recorded, and that's Eric Potts and Annette Badland.
Yeah.
That will be interesting because obviously that in that first block, I think Chris Eggleston, by the sounds of it, decided to leave there and then, didn't he? So that'll be an interesting panel.
Annette came back for Boomtown as well, didn't she?
Indeed.
Yes, and she then did.
We've got our old mate Rob Shearman, who after about 5 rewrites of Dalek gave up on it, I think, and left Russell to finish it off. But Rob's always a great guest, and he is a massive fan of Doctor Who, and he's so excited about the future. He said to me, I've not been this excited for a long time about what's going on with the programme. He's obviously, there's bits and bobs about it. He's really up for it.
You know how two talented dancers will have a dance-off? This year, I'm going to challenge Rob to a Terence-off.
Oh, that's strange.
Well, we both sit there and you got to say you see a bit more pronounced.
Do you think Rob really wants to be in the same room as you guys again? I know you weren't there in October, were you, Hayden?
I was there.
Oh, were you?
Yeah.
Sorry, I forgot.
You asked me to go up on stage. I sat next to Stephen Moffat.
Oh, yes, you did. Do you know what? I've slept since then.
I could not stop Stephen Moffat from giving me my own books and saying, here, could you please sign this?
It was ridiculous.
Lacked dignity, didn't it, really?
It really did. Well, I was like, well, actually, Stephen, I'm about to go up on stage, but maybe later.
I've got in my notes next to Robert Shearman. Maybe get a Terence Dicks competition between Hayden and Rob.
There you go.
Wasn't there an act at conventions back in the day called the Terence Dixes?
Oh, that was, what was his name? Neil Perryman. Tacky on TV, wasn't it?
That was it.
Yeah, it's Tacky on TV.
Yes, I heard it's on Tacky on TV. Oh, that's what gets him to do it.
This year, I'm hoping, if all goes well, when we've got a bit of downtime, I'm going to bring my 1970s War of the Daleks board game along, if that might be all right, and set that up somewhere quietly in the corner or perhaps in the bar or something, and was hoping we might be able to get people to come play it with us.
You just need to make sure that no one takes any of the pieces.
Oh, yes, don't worry, I'll be keeping an eye on it, but yeah.
You'll cause chaos in bar 92.
Maybe we could set up a little table next to the queue for the bar.
Charge people £10 a game.
No, Rob was lovely at the Terence Dicks event. So funny.
He was brilliant.
Yeah, Rob and Gary, when they crossed over during that interview as well, that was that was brilliant, wasn't it? They were really good.
Does Tony know what happened during our interview with Gary Russell?
Well, I listened to the podcast, but I didn't do a piece to do it.
Was it something I said that made him snap a coffee stirrer? I can't remember what it was now.
Oh, yes, you said something unkind about David Tennant.
Did I?
I love Gary, but basically, the stories he says are wonderful, I think are rubbish, and the stories he says are rubbish, I think are wonderful. We'll never, ever agree on a list of good and bad Doctor Who.
That was it. I said I hated the end of time.
That was
it. At least I had snapping up the coffee stirrer.
Well, surely he's used to that, isn't he?
And he had the book that I had for him, I bought off eBay a couple of weeks before.
Oh, I remember that. Yeah.
And it came like battle damaged in his face when he saw it.
You thought you'd read it so much that you loved it there.
Yeah, he did. He's like, oh, this is a well-thumbed copy. Oh, I don't know. I only got it in the post a couple of weeks ago.
I had to pay more on the postage than for the book. Oh, dear. Anyway, we've got all that to look forward to.
Talking of Gary Russell, Tony, will you bring in the crowbar or would you like us to bring it?
The crowbar?
To prize his Terence Dicks Award trophy out of his cold, dead hands.
There's an all-new one.
I really must write my notes closer to the actual recording. I've got here, Gary Russell, cold, dead hands. I don't know what I was thinking about that night.
No, we have Dear Gary Glover of Mooncrest Models made it for me many, many months ago. I've got to get it engraved. The Terence Dicks Award for Writers will be presented over the weekend. Beyond I'm not saying anything.
Has it been decided?
I think it's fairly obvious who it's probably going to, but
I'll get my acceptance speech ready. Thank you for the heads up there, Tony.
You weren't on the short list, Hayden. I'm really sorry.
I wasn't even on the long list.
Let's get back to the guests, shall we? We haven't even mentioned the fourth Doctor panel, which is K-9 and Leela.
We...
Oh, of course, Louise and Joe. So impossibly glamorous.
The war bungle.
I was just emailing John back and forth, we were today, about a couple of things to do with it, but he's very much looking forward to working with Louise again on stage, so that should be great. And Lou is very keen as well, so we've had all the confirmations from those sorts of people that they'll be there, and that should be another good one. I mean, it's like having Fraser and Padders. It's like having John and Louise. It just works, doesn't it? It rolls off the tongue, and it all happens, you know, it all fell into place reasonably well.
John, so willing to please, that at the Sci-Fi by the Sea convention in the open air, he actually was prepared to sign Mark's specially printed photo of the War Bungle.
War Bungle?
Oh, have you not heard of this? This is the...
No!
You know how John used to be in the original Bungle suit?
Who was?
John Leeson.
Was he really?
Not the big one that's like a big fluffy teddy bear.
The original one, yeah, the second one was never as good.
He's more like the roadkill version. Yeah. All his stuffings come out and he looks a bit haunted.
Oh, bless poor old John.
On the way to Sci-Fi by the Sea, Mark pops into a Tesco's or a Boots and got one of the, you know, those, they have these things where you stick a flash drive into a thing and you can get photos printed of the old bungle, and asked him to sign. And he even, we got him to do that little intro of K9. And he was even offering Mark, it's recorded okay in the open air? I'm happy to just pop into that shed over there with you to record it.
Bless him. Could be fun. So that's another familiar, and another double act, Adric and Nyssa.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
No need to bring your companion's book out, Mark.
Well, no, because I have Adric and Nyssa, don't I? I have Sarah Sutton and Matthew Waterhouse in there, because it was Matthew Waterhouse who drew, because in my companion's book, there's that lovely big photo of the three companions with the Fifth Doctor, and Matthew signed it first, and he just signed it really large, right in the middle of the page.
Oh, really?
Massively. Then I moved along to Sarah Sutton, who looked at the page where Matthew had signed it, went, "Matthew, Janet will be having words with you when she sees this." So it's a shame, really, that Janet's not there, but I know she's over in Australia at the moment, isn't she?
As indeed is Sophie, which is why she couldn't join us, because she's doing 5 different events in 5 weekends, I think.
Oh, wow.
Australia and New Zealand.
Going right back to the First Doctor, you even got someone from that era, haven't you? Is this Anna?
Anna Callahan was Verity's PA for 20 years. Obviously, she didn't work with her when she was working on Doctor Who. However, having met Anna, I think she'll have a number of fascinating stories to tell about Verity. And I think it'll be a real one-off for her appearing, but I think she'll be a really interesting guest. And then alongside her, we've got John Gorry, who at 90 years old is still fit as a fiddle, the director of The Keys of Marinus. And I'm sure he'll get asked again about who did actually take over from Henrik Hirst, was it when he had his freak out, whatever. But there's lots of stories about what happened in season one.
John Gorry's 90.
Yeah.
Wow. From his picture, he looks about 60, 70. It's
absolutely outrageous how fit and healthy that man is. I'm not trying to am him in any way, shape or form.
Mm.
He was born in August 32, so he's 90.
Wow.
Yeah. Well, you think he'd have been 31 or 32 when he was directing Marinus?
Oh, my God, he'd be younger than me. Now it's my turn to feel old on the Diddly Dun podcast.
I tell you what, we should be grateful that 60 years on, these people are still with us. And when we had time in Riverside, you know, we had Carol Ann, we had Maureen, Pete, Richard Martin.
Yeah.
It's great.
Yeah.
In some ways, we do better with people from the 60s than the 70s, quite frankly.
For the head count, especially when it comes to companions, it's so sad, isn't it? There's so many from the 70s who are no longer with us. It's only...
We're looking at every era. The simple fact is that if you were trying to get modern companions as guests, our budget doesn't go there. Although Dan, you know, we've got Dan, which is great. But if you want to get Karen Gillan, well, you'd have to go over to Hollywood to start with. And then, you know, how many tens of thousands would you have to pay? And I don't begrudge her that. It's just a statement of fact. That's why I try to be more clever with the planning. And so you've got Stuart Milligan and Dan Starkey together. You've got John Davey, Monster Man, Cammy Darwish. You've got The Waters of Mars. You've got a Series 1 people. You know, I've really tried to, as the guy said, craft it.
Yeah. No, absolutely. it's going to be interesting in the next 10 to 20 years, isn't it, to see just how conventions are going to evolve and whether they will become a little more available. I don't know, but it's crazy.
I don't know where conventions are going. I don't know where Doctor Who is going. Well, it seems to me that Doctor Who in 2024 is going to be bigger than ever.
Yeah,
because you're going to have spin-offs, yeah. You're going to have Disney's backing in it. It's November, Doctor Who's going to be huge. You're not going to be able to get away from it.
Going to have more animations next year, hopefully, as well, or this year. So,
well, yeah. Did you see what that lad did for the Celestial?
Oh, it was amazing.
Toy Maker 1.
Yeah.
Surely the technology is getting there that you can get them all animated within the next 5 years.
Yeah. Yeah, I completely agree. That was an astonishing. Did you guys see that?
Yes, I did. Yeah. Yeah. Really good. That.
What was that?
What's his name?
Episode 1 of Celestial Toy Maker that this lad has animated. You've not seen it.
I'll send it to you.
It works really well because you can get away, or you can do a minimalist approach to it.
It's not an officially released one, then?
No.
No, I was thinking that. Oh, so look out for that.
There was also, I saw somebody had done their own Lego version of one, hadn't they? Like with animated, animated Lego version of a missing episode. I can't remember which story it was now, but that was brilliant.
Links in the show notes, as ever, at diddlydumpodcast.wordpress.com. We interviewed Stephen Wyatt last year, didn't we? And he's back. I forgot his John Nathan Turner, Gary Downey docudrama actually came out at Christmas, didn't it? I must get hold of that.
That's one of the reasons I've got him back, because it has a relevance, not only because he worked in the Seventh Doctor era with John and Gary, but he knew them personally as well. So I think that really helps looking at the era. And then we've got the redoubtable Andrew Cartmell, who is always a great convention guest. So they should work well together.
Oh, Mark?
Yeah?
Never mind your companion's book. If Cartmell and Stephen are going to be there, take out your gun props.
Oh, gosh. Oh, well.
Mark's got gun props from the Kangs and from...
we've discussed this before, haven't we? Because I had an ankle bracelet from Time and the Rani, and I can't find it. I don't know what I've done with it.
It's on your ankle.
No, that's his tag.
Andrew Cartmell might be able to get my revenge on him this year.
Person who did the animation of Celestial Toy Maker, his name is Callum Weston. He did a blooming marvellous job. Someone has said to me recently that with the technology available for colourisation, every Doctor Who story should be in colour if they want. Within the next 3 years, probably. Now, that's a more dubious thing.
Yeah.
But just by using programs now, you can actually colorize whole stories. I know someone who said they have someone they know has done, I think it's The Invasion? I can't remember.
Oh, I don't know. Is it? Now, you see, this is the thing. Some stories just suit black and white.
Yeah.
And I think that's one for me that I'd prefer to stay in black. I'd prefer for them to get the animations done. What's it we're doing this year? It's mooted, it's Smugglers and Underwater Menace, isn't it, sometime this year?
There'd be no logic to having the Smugglers, would there?
I don't know. Unless they've found something to go along with it, an episode or two.
Yeah, it's tricky. If they want to do season one, then you'd say, would they animate Marco Polo? If they want to do season six, would you say they'd animate the Space Pirates?
Yeah.
It's very difficult, isn't it? Because if you're going to release Blu-rays and there's 5, 6, or 7 episodes missing, you can get away with 2 for The Crusade, but I don't know whether you can get away with that many.
No, you can't. Well, I don't know. You can maybe get away with 1 story.
But season 3 needs, obviously, a lot of help.
Season 3 is just a wasteland, isn't it, unfortunately? Yeah.
Possibly leave The Crusade if the idea of colorization is coming up.
Oh, dear.
Anyway, so I think we've just about gone through the guest list.
Alice is going to be there. We must remember to try to make sure we get Alice to do a proper Tom for our private means, doing Don't Bodies in the River for us.
Well, I've given him a 10-minute slot at the start of the evening entertainment, so I'm sure he'll be...
Oh, no, we'll catch him in a hotel corridor or something.
Bless him. He'll be behind his desk selling his raffle tickets.
And final main guest, I'm not sure, Kath Manning? Who's this? I'm not sure.
Don't know. No, never heard of her.
Kathy Manning?
I may be doing my one interview of the weekend with her.
Ah!
For the simple reason, there are 13 panels. I have 4 other interviewers, so they each have 3 panels. I can't show favouritism to one by giving them 4, so I'm stepping into the breach and taking on Manning.
Will you be having cream tea again?
We will not be having any sort of tea. Can assure you of that.
So you'll still be ordering it, but you just still won't get it again.
don't. It was like, oh, dear.
Now, the dealer's room is called nowadays, what is it again?
It's always called the Academy.
Academy, that's it. So you've got Georgia Cook.
Yeah.
Jeff Cummins.
Yeah.
We've interviewed Jeff and Colin Howard.
Yeah.
Delightful Sophie Isles with her fabulous badges, which I'll have to find out.
They're fabulous badges.
Graham Way,
he's a great artist. He was there last year as well.
Mooncrest, of course, formed famously.
And Gary and Helen, they've got a family wedding the day before, so they won't be turning up until mid-Saturday morning, I believe.
And Arcadia, what's that going to be? Is that going to be...
The dealer's room.
Oh, still again, right.
Yeah, so it's Galaxy 4, Time Travel TV, Gareth Kavanagh and Cutaway Comics are back again.
Hey, will they be bringing Uncle Des with them?
No.
Oh!
I'm sorry, not this year. he wouldn't fit in to the structure. And Longscarf Publications, and we have a new trader, Battlefront Miniatures.
I was going to ask about these. They weren't familiar to me.
They're a New Zealand-based company who have released, I think it's 3 Doctor Who games. Their latest one is called Nemesis, and they will be there selling all 3 games. And I think it's really interesting to have someone you can rely on. Galaxy 4. Well, I think it's good to have someone different.
And Michael keeps strolling past with his board box saying, "War of the Daleks is better. You're not getting anything better than this." And who are Tom's refurbishments?
Tom, he was there last year. He does refurbishments on people's full-sized Daleks.
Oh, right. Oh, gosh.
And you know how many people have got Daleks, don't you?
Yeah.
And he can replace their guns and their eye stalks and all sorts of them.
Does he do TARDIS roundels and things as well?
I think he might do. But last year he brought along a Dalek gun that he asked me to get, and it was a Dalek gun, a model of one from Dalek Invasion Earth movie, and he asked me to get Jill Curzon and Roberta Tovey to sign it, which they very kindly did. So he's a good man. And if things come off, he'll be doing something very nice for the auction as well. So hopefully things come to fruition there.
Genuine question, does he refurbish smaller Daleks as well?
Genuine answer, no idea.
Ah, okay. Because I found... Do you remember when Series 1 came out, they released those remote-controlled Daleks?
Yeah, I still have 2 that work.
Yeah, I found mine in the loft, but its eye had snapped, and it was dangling off by the little electrical bit. I've managed to glue that back on. I've managed to glue the egg whisk back on, but put batteries in, doesn't work anymore.
Mine still both do, after 17-plus years. In his message to open the Sunday last year, Colin Baker had his 2005 bronze Dalek. I think he found it by the side of a road one day, probably the A40 going through Buckinghamshire, and it's now his sort of Dalek. So maybe I should email him and say, bring it along and I'll see if Tom's refurbishments can refurbish it for you.
Because I will bring it along if that's the case.
If anyone has any advice on how to fix those 12-inch Daleks from back in 2005, please do get in touch. Hello, listeners. It's been getting on for 9 years since we recorded our standard intro to a look back in the archives of the Diddly Dum podcast. So long, in fact, that I've completely forgotten how we went about creating...
Previously on Diddly Dum.
So, for messages added after the fact, I'm just going to have to make the best stab I can at it.
Subsequently, on Diddly Dum.
So, I was editing the podcast, and having heard Hayden just suggest that he might bring his 12-inch remote-controlled Dalek along with him to Capitol to present to Tom for repair, I did think, oh Lord, the domino effect. What if we turn up at Capitol to find that hundreds of people have brought along their own for repair? So I dropped Tom a line and said, do you actually repair broken 12-inch remote-controlled Daleks? And he replied, well, that he has been asked before whether he can make replacement parts for the 12-inch and 18-inch Daleks. The only problem he currently has is that it would most likely be limited to just the arms, as he doesn't have a great deal of time between jobs to make LED eye stalks, etc. However, he says, if any of you are interested in inquiring about this, do turn up at his stall at Capitol, and he'll see if he can give you some advice. but best not to bring your actual remote control Daleks. Oh, and Tom's just added, I love Diddly-Dum. It's my favourite Doctor Who podcast. I just can't get enough of those Canadian accents. Oh, I think he may be confusing us with someone else.
It's brilliant. It sits on top of my display cabinet with all the Blu-rays, DVDs, all the dollies and all the ships of the Enterprise and all that kind of thing in there. And William loved going to that cabinet and trying to get my stuff out. And then I put the Dalek up there and he saw it and he's terrified of it.
Oh, splendid.
So it's now guarding all of my precious things.
That's very clever. You're learning what fatherhood is all about.
Ruling through fear.
Yeah, well, that's a story. Well, you know it as well, Mark. How is Polly, by the way?
Polly's great, thank you very much. She's just coming to the end of her first 3 years at Cardiff Uni, and she's going to be staying on, hopefully, touch wood. She's been offered a chance to do a master's there, so.
Fantastic.
Yeah, so she's really looking forward to that. She loves being in Cardiff. She loves it, so.
It's a vibrant city, isn't it?
Yeah, there's a lot going on. I mean, where I live, I'm near a place called Canterbury, which is, you know, a nice city. It's got cathedral and stuff, but it's not... I mean, it's got plenty of, like, universities and colleges dotted all around it, but it's got nowhere near the kind of, like you say, the buzz and vibrancy that Cardiff has. Apologies to listener Tim from the Missing Episodes podcast who lives there, but...
I think the problem for Canterbury is that the cathedral, and obviously it's the home of the Anglican Church,
yeah,
it's sort of... It's not raised up... Basically, you come across it almost accidentally. It's just in amongst loads of buildings. Go somewhere like Lincoln, and the cathedral is high on top of the hill.
Yeah.
And it stands out for miles. You can be miles from Ely Cathedral, and you can't miss it. Somewhere like Wells Cathedral, you get into the city of Wells, a small city. It's amazing, and it's just, it really grabs you. I've always thought Canterbury Cathedral was a little bit anticlimactic, and I'm very sorry if that offends anyone.
What does Lincoln Cathedral remind me of? Somehow I can't remember.
It wouldn't be Mark's dance moves on the dance floor at my reception, would it?
Hey!
Happy times, happy times. Computer, can you just play that clip of Mark throwing his shapes on the dance floor at Hayden's wedding on the big screen, please?
Hey!
We got married in the Lincoln Hotel across the road from the cathedral, and we had all our photos in the cathedral grounds.
And you know what, Hayden? Mrs. J and I got married at St. Peter and Eastgate, which is about 150 yards down from...
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
Oh, no way. Oh, fantastic.
And we walked past the cathedral, down the bell, turned right at the White Hart Hotel and went up to the assembly rooms.
Fantastic. Yeah, I know it well. 150
people walking along on a hot July afternoon, and all the tourists were wondering, what's going on here?
Must have been a long train then.
Yeah. She did have a long train. Long ago that was, mate.
Well, you had a lot of guests visiting, did you?
Sorry?
Oh, sorry, that kind of train. I see what you mean.
But anyhow, the capital.
We'll always have to get a mention for Gareth and Ian and Colin and co. We've got Cutaway coming.
Yeah, Gareth, Ian, Sean and Colin.
Oh, I've got three of them down. I don't know how many are coming.
Oh, it'll be Gareth, Ian and Sean then, won't it? Because Colin didn't come along.
I should probably check, shouldn't I? I've made that assumption. I will check with Gareth.
Oh, I must read my Warp 5 before we go in.
Yes, it'll be nice to catch up with Gareth and co, won't it?
Yeah, and Chris Stone does a great job with his Professor Howe books. Always pleased to give him space to sell them. He's a very positive chap. Raises money for children in need and whatever. Does a good job.
I've got to keep in with Gareth because we blackmailed him. I persuaded him last time that next time he does any Omega work with Brian Blessed, he'd persuade Brian to record As Augustus. Is there anyone in Rome who has not thrown bodies in the river for us? Just to give Hayden a bit of a rest at the end of our podcasts. You're going to have a media room today, this year. Our media centre, rather.
That's the plan.
Is that for the Cock and Shenty?
What did you call us?
I'm quite sure that someone near the time or even over the weekend will come up and say, oh, we're from so-and-so, can we do an interview for this or that or the other? And it's just to have a room away from the madness. And it gives you guys a chance and anyone else who wants to. It's a room we've got. It's one of those. It's the one that's upstairs that was an autograph room last year. And I've taken the rooms with stairs out of it, basically. Because when we were at the Aurora, one of the positives were they were all on the same level, weren't they?
Yeah.
Last year we had the Space Museum, but that was the other side of the bar, down steps, and it didn't get the footfall or I was expecting, even though there was a Dalek outside it with a sign Dalek Planet Skaro.
Everyone was just having their photos taken with that Dalek.
And not going down.
Oh, there was the Space Museum, wasn't it? Is that where you said the media room's going to be?
We're switching things
around. Oh, right, okay.
What was the dealer's rooms, which was one room, is now going to be the two autograph rooms. What was the photo studio is going to be the dealer's room. The artists and artisans thing stays the same because they have to de-rig on the Saturday night. And Robin's photo studio will be in what was the downstairs autograph room. And the Panopticon, the Arundel suite remains the same. It's just switching it around following feedback from last year. Because we're going to have as many, if not even more, people there this year than last year.
Mm.
And it was pretty crowded last year. We haven't gone over the top. We stopped selling tickets at a certain level. But we have a lot of attendees, and we have the dealers and the artists, and we have our guests, and some of our guests are bringing guests with them. And we have the crew, obviously. And it's a lot of people. Come the end of the day, there's going to be 325 people there this weekend, that weekend or whatever.
Is everyone still getting their envelopes?
They'll be posted out between a week and 2 weeks in advance. Most of them will be anyhow. We've had someone from Australia saying, oh, are you going to send it out in advance? And it's like, yeah, we can pick it up then. But the reason we do this is you get it in advance, you get your wristbands. And in fact, I've just had a message from Paul Winter saying the wristbands have arrived. And then you know what's coming in advance. You put your wristband on, you show it, you walk through, you pick up your program, you pick up your order of things for the weekend, and you pick up your map of how things are laid out. So that the schedule and the map go inside the program, and you just pick that up as you come in.
What sort of start are we doing both days this year?
Both days, I think we're going to open at 9:45 this year. There is so much to get through.
And going on to...
Just after 6 on Saturday and 6 on Sunday. And then we've obviously got the evening entertainment on the Saturday. There's a couple of spectacular, well, I think they're spectacular opening videos, one for each day. They run 7 minutes and 6 minutes long. But again, it's the 60th, so let's do that. People have put a great deal of effort in. And I want it to be a celebration of 60 years. That's the key thing. We're going from, you know, the very beginnings of it right until the 13th Doctor and John Davey was probably a seed devil. We're going right through to the... Actually, he would have been a Dalek in The Power of the Doctor. So we've got people from the very beginning to where we've been. So that's good. And that's what we're going to do.
Not capital-related, but I noticed the other day you were putting a call out for an editor for the Dwas magazine, Celestial Toy Room.
Uh-huh. For a few years now, we've had a publications manager and we've had a rota of people editing it. The majority of us feel that want to move back to the direction of having an editor who does it. I mean, it's a job that I did for 3 years, from 2008 to 2011. We feel that we'd like to get a more of a continuity of vision and of output. Not that there's anything wrong with what's been going on, but let's just move it back to having a single editor.
Okay, so what are you looking for?
Well, it's in the advert.
Oh, okay.
We've had quite a few applications, and it runs until the end of March, and then we're going to look at it and probably do some Zoom interviews, I would think, with people who have applied.
Yes, they have had a few applications. Mine was returned, not known at this address. In your handwriting, Tony.
I was wondering, what's your next event? Is the it's another Riverside event coming up, isn't there?
Time and Riverside 2 is coming up on the 21st of May, which focuses on the Crusade and includes Julian Glover as a guest.
Oh, brilliant. He's great. He was a great guest.
Yeah, we've had him at the Capitol, haven't we?
Yeah.
There's also Maureen Lane, who I met at the Riverside event the other week. She had a small part in Dalek Invasion of Earth, I think. She was in the Crusade. And Maureen Lane's biggest part in Doctor Who, she played the majorette of the band in the Macro Terror. Very funny, very entertaining woman. And then there's Cleo Silvestri, who played a concubine in the Crusade. There may or may not be one or two more guests. We'll just have to see. But that the first event went really well, and that will do. I think it'll be another great day. And then there's going to be the unveiling of a blue plaque in the Blue Boar in Aldbourne when Who's at the Big House takes place there in the middle of June.
Oh, what, for the Devil's End weekend?
Yeah.
Oh.
There's going to be a plaque put up inside. I think it's inside the pub, or maybe logic says it should be on the outside, but I don't know.
Yeah.
But that's going to be happening. And then there are probably other things happening this year as well. So we're very busy. Very busy this year, but
so
it should be.
So to us, joining with Who's at the Playhouse for Devil's End?
Yeah, and it's the driving force is actually the brewery who really fancy it. So there's a sort of conglomeration. It's like Time and Riverside is a combination, is a joint venture between Riverside Studios and ourselves. So this is a joint venture between Who's at the Playhouse, the pub, the brewery, and ourselves.
Ooh,
so
that's good. What date is that?
I think it might. Is it the 17th? Hold on. It's the 17th of June.
Ah, okay. It's just that obviously I'm very fond of visiting Aldbourne, and because I like to visit Avebury, which isn't far from there either, which is just a beautiful one of my favourite parts of the world. And so I'm very tempted to try and do the same thing again. And I know at some point me and Polly were going to have one of our little 2 or 3 day holidays that we like to do occasionally. So that might be. I wonder if I'd be able to fit that in.
The great thing about Aldbourne, though, is that you can visit it whenever. So the event itself, I think, is sold out actually now.
Oh, has it? Oh, probably, yeah.
But you can go there. It's so wonderful.
Yeah.
It's so atmospheric, and people do, and I've done that, and it's just great. A few years ago, Mrs. J and I went for a weekend away, and we stayed in Marlborough, but we visited Aldbourne.
Yeah, that's where me and I stayed there with Polly. Actually, when we visited there as well, it's a lovely place.
Not too far away, is it? And Marlborough's a nice town.
It's lovely.
Market town.
Yeah, lovely.
With that high street, really impressive. Really impressive high street. So, yeah. So it's a busy year. There we go. Right, anything else, boys?
No, we'll be delighted to be there. Always a pleasure, never a chore. And anyone that you might have a think about over the next couple of weeks who you think, yeah, I can strong arm them into having an interview with the lads, we're always welcome.
What you can do again, though, is if you're there, come into the Friday evening meeting.
Oh, yeah, we'd love to, thanks.
Gives you a clue what's going on. Gives you more of an idea.
Get us Matthew and Mark will never, forget it.
I mean, it just helps, doesn't it, to so you know what's going on.
Yeah, thank you. I find it really useful coming to that. I don't feel such an intruder either when I'm walking around on the Saturday and Sunday trying to interview people if I've been involved in the Friday night thing.
Well, Mark and I agreed last year that when I say for the first time, I'm not suggesting that previously you felt, but because of the sort of people we are, we found last year quite different in that we'd always felt a little, by nature, feel awkward in any social situation.
Yeah, a bit imposter syndrome, isn't it?
Well, exactly, because to regular listeners to the Diddly Dum podcast, the three of us doubtless come across as men of great power and moment who tread the earth like princes and hold the world in our hands.
Yeah.
Actually, the reverse is true. We tend towards the chronically insecure in most social situations. But given how generous Tony and the Dwarfs have always been to us in giving us peeks behind the scenes at these events, we're always, shall we say, keen to go out of our way to avoid getting in the way where we can. But suddenly, we felt, right from that first Friday evening, we didn't feel like these guys sneaking in, but we felt strangely relaxed last time.
I just think it was all part of the fact that it was so special to be back. Everyone was so happy to be back at an event, a communal thing, seeing people we hadn't seen for 3 years, quite likely. And it was just a celebration. It wasn't that the event was a spectacular success, but I do think that was in part down to what it represented. I really do. And I think everyone was really up for it, and they were all being very nice, and they weren't moaning. And that probably just the whole vibe was so positive. I hope we can recreate that this year.
So, thanks very much, Tony. We shall see you all in several weeks.
Yeah, I'll see you on the Friday, boys.
Here come the sons of Skaro. Hello, Dalek Scarus. Have you come to share the latest advice from the Inland Waterways Association about the most considerate way for people to travel to conventions via blimp?
Emergency regulations! Please do not dump bodies into the river!
Dalek Ray, Dalek Ray. We have fan convoys on the motorways. How should we warn them about all those speed cameras?
It's a trap!
Bye, everyone!
Goodbye!
Goodbye.
Goodbye. See you soon.
You have been listening to the Diddly Dumb Podcast. Find us on our blog at diddlydumbpodcast.wordpress.com, on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, Facebook, and Mastodon at Diddly Dumb, on Twitter at diddly_dumb, or email us at diddlydumbpodcast@yahoo.co.uk.
Diddly dumb, the empty space that circles time. I mean, time, Chesterton.